Hi, everybody, and welcome to Tourism Talk. It's March 26, 2014. Tourism Talk here on Baltimore Internet Radio, brought to you by the Baltimore Tourism Association. I'm your host, Chris Reel from Baltimore Rent-A-Tour. And today I'm joined by Helen Ewan, the Director of Marketing for the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. Did I get it all in, Helen?
That's right. Thanks for having us on today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being here. The Reginald F. Lewis Museum is one of Baltimore's newer museums. What is it, about 9 years old now?
Right.
Hard to believe, but it still looks brand new, right down there on the corner of Pratt and President Street.
Right. We're down in the Inner Harbor, near all the great other attractions down there. Come on down and visit us. There's a parking garage right across the street from us.
So that's huge. That's very
easy access, easy parking.
And not only is the Reginald F. Lewis Museum one of the newest museums in Baltimore and right downtown, centrally located, but in my opinion, also one of the most important museums in the city and really in the state, because we're not just talking about Baltimore, we're talking about Maryland African American history and culture. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the mission of the museum and what you guys are trying to accomplish down there.
Definitely. Maryland has such an incredibly rich heritage in terms of African American history and culture. We all know about Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman and Thurgood Marshall. But the museum also showcases contemporary culture as it's being made now. For example, we have a show opening soon by Jatai Lindsay, and our curator predicts that his photographs of jazz musicians will become the definitive visual record of jazz now. So it is a living, breathing institution that pays tribute not only to our past, but also history as it's being made now.
That's interesting. That exhibition you just mentioned, when does that begin?
That is opening March 29th in conjunction with Jazz Appreciation Month, which is April, and it closes later on in June. So it's up for a short time, but it is an example of some of the things that we highlight at the museum.
That's great. For my money, every month should be Jazz Appreciation Month, but that's just me, maybe. I think it's such a rich tapestry in American history, jazz.
Absolutely, and it is something that the museum pays tribute to on a regular basis. Almost on a monthly basis, we feature a live jazz performance, and that's part of our Third Thursday series. So every third Thursday of the month, the museum is open late, and for a special admission of $5, you can tour the galleries as well as sit in on a live performance.
That's fantastic. Every third Thursday, every month?
Yes, that's right. And it's not necessarily live jazz every time, but mostly.
That's great. That's something I'm sure folks really are interested in knowing about.
Yeah, and you know, we also have a museum cafe that stays open late that evening, and it serves, in my opinion, the best soul food in Baltimore. So you can pick up your soul food and then bring it upstairs and enjoy it with the concert.
So visitors can get authentic soul food and then see a live jazz performance.
$5.
Right downtown, all for $5.
Yes.
What a great program. That's fantastic. I will be checking that out personally. I can promise you that. So we mentioned the museum's been here in Baltimore for about 9 years now. Reginald F. Lewis, the museum's namesake, can you tell us a little bit about him and why his name is on the museum?
Sure. He's a Baltimore native. In fact, he's a graduate of Dunbar High School, and he is the first Harvard Law student to be admitted before even applying. He showed such talent and promise, and he went on to become head of Beatrice TLC, which is an international company with assets of $1 billion plus. So the shorthand is he's America's first African-American billionaire, but technically, okay, that relates to his business. So he is an important figure here in Maryland. And before his untimely passing, he had a dream to found a museum in Maryland that is dedicated to African American history and culture. So we now carry his name on the museum.
So he had this idea, he had this dream before he passed away, and we've been able to see it come to fruition.
Exactly. And with support of Maryland State as well. So it is a tribute to not only the man, but also to the state.
That's great. That's great. And it is a beautiful museum. And you mentioned some of those temporary exhibitions that come and go, but what are some of the permanent exhibitions that are on display at the museum?
Well, the permanent collection is divided into three sections, one that's dedicated to the economic contributions of African Americans in Maryland, and one dedicated to community and family, and the third one dedicated to the artistic and cultural contributions of Marylanders. And people always love the Pennsylvania Avenue section, which for those of you who grew up in Baltimore know that that was really the heart of African American life for a long time, and with iconic nightclubs and jazz clubs. So we sort of recreate that ambiance in our third floor permanent collection.
That's definitely worth the price of admission all by itself. Again, speaking as a jazz fan, so maybe I'm a bit biased, but that Pennsylvania Avenue history that we have here in Baltimore is so rich
yeah.
and so important. I mean, folks like Billie Holiday
exactly.
and Cab Calloway, all right there.
Yeah.
Over in West Baltimore.
And we have in our permanent collection as well a piano that supposedly was owned by Billie Holiday.
Wow. That's something. And so these exhibitions are here all the time. You can come in and check those out.
That's right. The galleries are open Wednesday through Sunday, so come check us out. And we welcome school groups as well as group tours to the museum.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of our listeners, you know, being a part of the Baltimore Tourism Association, we do focus on group travel. We have a lot of tour operators and group leaders that we hope are listening. And the Reginald F. Lewis Museum is definitely a great addition to any tour itinerary here in Baltimore, wouldn't you say?
Definitely, because one thing we always say at the museum is that African American history is American history. And so if you're coming to Baltimore to learn, you know, and really immerse yourself in our city and its past, then a big part of that is knowing the role that African Americans played in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, of course, speaking of history, we have a huge event that's coming up later on in 2014 as we celebrate the bicentennial of the Star-Spangled Banner. We've been talking about this Star-Spangled Spectacular with a lot of our tourism colleagues here on Baltimore Internet Radio. Pretty much everyone in town is doing some sort of special promotion or exhibition in relation to the bicentennial of the Star-Spangled Banner, and the Reginald F. Lewis Museum is no exception. Can you tell us a little bit about for whom it stands?
Yeah, so that is an exhibition about the U.S. flag that opens May 17th and runs through February 28th of 2015. And it is an exhibition about how immigrants, veterans, artists, and other groups have been affected, interpreted, influenced by the U.S. flag. So that's where the name comes in, for whom it stands. It is about the diversity of Americans for which the U.S. flag stands. So it is an exhibition of photographs, documents, artifacts, and artwork and sound interpretations as well about the U.S. flag. And where the museum comes into it is that in Maryland, we often hear about Mary Pickersgill, who mm-hmm. sewed the Star-Spangled Banner, and she actually lived on the same city block where the Reginald F. Lewis Museum now sits. What is less known is that she had a young African-American indentured servant, Grace Wisher, in her household, who also contributed to the creation of the Star-Spangled Banner. So where our foothold is in this larger story is to highlight the role of Grace Wisher and then talk about the other Americans who have claim and are part of this icon as well.
That's fantastic. And that's interesting, I think, that not only are you telling the story here in the museum, but you are located physically in the same spot where that flag was made in 1813, right next to Mary Pickersgill's house.
Definitely. And visitors can enjoy touring both attractions for one admission price. We'll be rolling out that special offer soon. And there will be a satellite exhibition at the Flag House, which is next door to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. And they'll also be loaning us fragments of the original Star-Spangled Banner, which will be on display at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. The story behind that being that soldiers would and others would snip parts of the original Star-Spangled Banner as mementos. And so those have been fortunately salvaged through the years. So you'll be able to see actual pieces of the original Star-Spangled Banner at the exhibition.
Wow. So you'll have actual parts of that historic flag on display. And I just want to go back to what you said a moment ago and reemphasize that there is a single admission that will gain access to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum as well as the Flag House next door.
That's right, during the run of this exhibition.
So. That is really interesting. And I'm sure a lot of our group leaders and tour operators will be interested in that. A single admission for both museums, that's huge. I can't wait to see that.
And as part of the flag exhibition as well, one of the related programs, watch out for an incredible remix of the national anthem, meaning the beatboxer Shodake, which is a vocal percussionist musician. His name is Shodake, has been commissioned to take our national anthem and rethink it, reimagine it, and perform this new version, this remix of it live. And we don't know what's going to happen because it's still in production, and he's sub-commissioned to other improvisational musicians to join in the hip-hop and classical musician tradition. So it'll be an incredible and exciting performance that's happening in September, on September 14th, which is actually to the day that Francis Scott Key penned the poem which became our national anthem.
That sounds incredible. We're on the same day, 200 years later, we'll have a complete reimagining of the Star-Spangled Banner. That's one of the things I've always loved about the Star-Spangled Banner, too, is how it can be interpreted in so many different ways.
Exactly, and that it ties right into the flag exhibition. It's the vision for the flag exhibition is that it is our interpretation of what that flag means to us as the people for whom it stands.
What else does the museum offer in addition to the exhibits?
Yeah, well, we do related programming to the current exhibition. For example, watch out for the Caribbean Heritage and Flag Day celebration that's coming in June. And that relates, of course, to the flag exhibition, but also to the Chesapeake and Maryland, because we had runaway slaves who were enticed by the British to join their forces during the War of 1812 in exchange for repatriation in a British colony after the war. And so we actually have Chesapeake descendants who live in the Caribbean. So we'll be celebrating that journey and story and tie in June during Caribbean Heritage Month with a fun celebration that coincides with Flag Day. So we do special events like that, as well as a regular recurring series for kids and families where we bring in teaching artists to do art workshops, and we show films on a very regular basis. For example, we're screening one soon on the history of soul food, and that's going to be followed by a panel discussion of local food activists, because soul food, while we love it, also disproportionately affects communities of color in terms of their health. So we'll be talking about the implications of that.
Important topics indeed. You mentioned before there's a resource center at the museum. What sort of things can you research there at the resource center?
Yeah, that's a repository of first edition publications about Maryland history, and that's absolutely open to the public and included with museum admission. So just come right on in whenever the Resource Center is open, including the genealogy research resources there. So a member of the public can come in and find out where they're from. We actually had one gentleman able to trace his family back to the 1800s, wow, which is just about as far back as you can go if you are of African-American descent and relying on public records.
Sure. So it's obviously much, much more than just a museum.
Yeah. So if you have toured our permanent collection, don't forget that we have almost every weekend films, live performances, family and kid activities, and special events. So check out our calendar on our website, www.rflewis.org.
Fantastic. So if you've never been, then you definitely need to go. But even if you have been, it's worth a return trip because it's probably going to be an entirely different experience than what you had the first time. Okay, once again, that website, www.rflewis, is it rflewis.org or rflewismuseum.org? Or
rflewismuseum.org.
rflewismuseum.org. And that's all one word. You can also reach them by telephone, 443-263-1831. 443-263-1831. And we will link to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum website here on Baltimore Internet Radio. And if you'd like to talk with Helen, I'm sure she'd be happy to share with you more of what this wonderful Baltimore treasure has to offer. We've been talking with Helen Ewan, the Director of Marketing for the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. Helen, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us today here on Tourism Talk.
Thank you for having us, and we look forward to welcoming everyone to the museum.
It's been a pleasure.